At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, no doubt you've heard about how 3D printing can be used to create objects, but that technology can be extended to food as well. Researchers at Columbia University have figured out how to print a cheesecake. We're joined from there by Jonathan Blutiger. Good afternoon, Jonathan.
How you doing?
Describe the process, because, you know, people would probably know that you have to use these very small nibs to print all these things together. So do you take the ingredients for a cheesecake and then sort of liquefy them?
Effectively. So what we do is our machine works best with pastes and liquids. So any ingredient we find in the grocery store, if it's not already in a paste, we'll turn it into one by putting it in a food processor or Vitamix, and then we'll load it on our machine and then it can print with it.
Right. Okay. And for the particular cheesecake you made, how many ingredients did it have?
It had 7 ingredients. And I realized after we made it that we didn't have cheese as any one of them. So perhaps that was an oversight.
So it's not technically a cheesecake. So it's a vegan cheesecake, is it?
I guess you could call it a vegan cheesecake, yes.
Yeah.
But it could very well have cream cheese. I think what happened was cream cheese is like the easiest ingredient to print with. So we just said, let's try something new, and we got sick of it. But yeah, it could very well have cream cheese or some other form of cheese. So that's easy to print.
And what was the base made out of?
So the base was a graham cracker paste. So it's graham cracker and water, basically. We crushed it, turned it into a powder, added some water, and it turned into a paste.
Right.
So it's fairly simple. And then the rest of it, you know, banana, jam, Nutella, frosting, and some cherry drizzle. So an American's take on a cheesecake, I guess.
Okay, yeah. But say, after you'd printed the base, did that then dry out and become firm?
It became a little firm. It was already pretty tough as a texture, so that made a great structural component. So that kind of built up the outside and the middle structure. And then inside of that, in these little hollows, we added other ingredients like this Nutella, banana, and those other fillers to kind of give it more body and more flavor.
Yeah, because I suppose, you know, as you know, I suppose part of your challenge was that a cheesecake, even though the cheese bit is soft enough, it still holds its shape, it's firm. And did you have to experiment a bit there to make it like that?
Yeah, it took a number of iterations. It took a lot of, and this is something we show in our paper, which we show the bad in order to appreciate the good, which I think is really important. So there weren't any shortage of failures.
Yeah, but does it indicate to you that maybe there's certain sorts of foods that might lend themselves more to 3D printing than others?
Yes, I think right now it's slightly limited in that it's mostly paste, but what we've been working on are designs for different tool cartridges that can do powders, liquid sprays, really it runs the gamut. So we're trying to make this as extensible as possible, but we realized also through this process that our software is a big hurdle. So, you know, just changing a few numbers here and there in how we actually program our machine can make a huge difference of whether or not you have a success or a failure.
Mm. Does it indicate advantages that, you know, the advantages of making food with 3D printers as opposed to, you know, making medical supplies, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely gives us a lot of implications about what this technology can do. I think what we realized through this process is once you add software into the process, you can do a lot in terms of nutrition control. So we can, you know, fine tune each of the elements of this cheesecake and really dial in the flavor, the texture, everything locally that you couldn't do with your hands. So it just offers you a lot of new abilities.
Okay, that's it. So, I mean, you could foresee a situation where, say, you know, you could have cheesecakes made by 3D printing in factories. And you know, often the case, it says so many calories and, you know, that's a guess. But this would be very exact as to how many calories was in it.
Exactly. I mean, usually whenever you go to a restaurant or a fast casual dining place, it's usually you get to only have what the kitchen serves. So it's, you know, and you might know the ingredients, but you don't actually know the micro and the macronutrients. So in a weird way, this actually provides you a much more transparent process and brings you closer to the food. Cause you actually get to control every base element and see how it's created right in front of you.
Yeah. But I suppose at the end of the day, people listening might want to, is this better than cooking food?
Well, I don't want to make it seem as though I'm going to replace chefs anytime soon. I think there's a place, as a chef myself, I think there's a place for humans in the kitchen. And, you know, there's something that you said about love and the food. So I think, you know, it's not going to be able to make a pizza or a burger better than you'd be able to. But I think it's going to be able to make things that we haven't had before. So it'll be able to kind of create new flavor textures and experiences just by reimagining what we're used to.
So theoretically, could you make a burger, for instance, from 3D printing?
Yeah, you could. It would take you a lot longer than a conventional burger.
Yes.
But I think what I would try to do as a food designer for this machine, for this robot, is to, you know, look at the ingredients of a burger and perhaps layer them in a different way, because you have millimeter precision and control. So you can, you know, layer a little bit of bread with a little bit of, you know, of the meat with a little bit of the veggie, maybe in an interlaced pattern, and create this new flavor texture and flavor tasting experience.
Right.
Kind of follow what I'm saying.
But you would have to kind of get the meat and turn it into something small enough to get through the nib.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, ground beef is already in that texture form. So really, a burger is a form of a printed food. It's just in a solid patty.
Did you eat it?
We did. We tried it, and it was pretty good. I mean, it definitely was on the sweeter side. I think for my liking, I'm a little bit of a sweet tooth, but you know, it was definitely heavy on the graham cracker. So perhaps a couple more iterations, but at the very least, it was, you know, it looked really nice, and it just kind of shows how this can progress.
Yeah. So when you like for the one you ate, how long did it take to print it?
It took about 30 minutes.
Okay. So
like, it's not totally out of the ordinary.
Okay, so I'm seeing parties in Columbia University and you're whipping up, you know, cheesecakes and
that's right.
Brewing your own beer and
yeah, maybe that's where we have to hire maybe we have to bring in our Irish connections.
Okay.
You know.
Good one. Good nice one, Jonathan. That's science, all right. What are you going to make next?
So our machine right now we're working with can print with up to 18 ingredients, so more than double the amount of our previous one where this paper was presented around. And we're working on somewhat of like a three-course meal, which we can develop on this machine, cook it as well, bring in the lasers. So really just kind of push the envelope and see how far we can push this, because we know this is coming, and it's a revolution that's kind of slowly pervading its way commercially. So I think it's important people know what they can do with this technology so they can start using it.
Jonathan, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Jonathan Blutinger there, a food robotics engineer and PhD from Columbia University's Creative Machine Lab.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.